Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about this morning hope. And I want to take it from a kind of a different perspective. We often place our hope in things rather than what we should place it in. Now, there's two ways that hope works. The worldly way and the godly way. The worldly way really boils down to is I hope or I have a wish list and I want this to come to pass. Okay? I have a wish list. That's what hope in the world is. Oh, I hope this works. Yep. I hope it doesn't rain. Mm-hmm. It's called a wish list. And many in the church function in that fashion. They hope I'm healed. When they don't understand, they're healed. We'll talk about it. Well, I don't feel healed. That's where we're going to go to in a few minutes, okay? And the other part is the hope that comes from God, the hope that is born inside of us, placed inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit and His Word. And that hope is based on fact, not on wish. Okay? And it's important to distinguish the two, because if we don't, then we'll never see that which we hope for come to pass. But the hope I'm talking about will bring everything that God promised in your life to pass. Everything. Let's look at something. Let's start in Ephesians 2. This is what I first talked about when we came out. He said, therefore remember. Verse 11, sorry. Therefore remember, okay? Don't forget. Don't forget that you once were Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, you were once people without God. Mm-hmm. That's what Gentile means, people without God. Who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at the time you were without Christ. I want to take that for just one second. We've talked about this many times. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. It wasn't Mr. and Mrs. Christ. All right, had a little baby Christ. That word Christ in the Greek actually means the anointing or the anointed one, depending on how it works. So when you see that, you say, okay, he said this. He said that at the time you were without the anointing or the anointed one. That should stir something up. See, you're not operating out of a worldly body and a worldly spirit and a worldly mind. You're operating out of something so far superior to what this world has to offer that you look down upon it, not with disdain, but with compassion. Because they don't got what you got. The sad thing about the church is we're trying to get what the world's got, and the world needs what we got. Amen? So what happens is, what in the church itself, the church is like people who operate without hope. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on here. Listen. That at the time you were without the anointing, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. That's what we were like. No hope. That is called hopelessness. That's why I said to you earlier, 22 servicemen kill themselves every day, men and women. When I say servicemen, I'm not going to be worried about, I hope you understand, I mean both, commit suicide because they have no hope. Church people commit suicide every day because they leave the confines of the kingdom of God and enter back into the world because they are without hope and they don't operate in the hope. So their faith doesn't work. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if they have no hope, their faith doesn't operate. So they have to work like the world. They go to their jobs so they can pay their bills. That's not what God called us to do. God told us to work so we can give to others, not so we pay our bills. Well, how do I pay my bills? God takes care of that. Amen? But see, we're not operating in the confines of the kingdom of God. We're operating in the world, looking at the Word of God, what it says about what we are and who we are and what we can and cannot do. This is what it is all about, who we are in Christ, in the Anointed One, in the anointing. When you have the anointing in you, you are something different than you were before you had the anointing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Anointed One, or the anointing, means to smear on, to rub on. But I was thinking about this. I said, the anointing, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'll stay with this for a second. The anointing, and we'll see it in the scripture, comes from within. Amen? It says the Spirit of God will be in you and on you, with you, on you. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
What happens is the Anointed One, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ comes in you. As you work and operate out of that anointing that's in your inner man, it starts seeping out your pores. Comes from within. Don't look for something, okay, he's going to do this. No, it's coming from within. To the degree that you learn to operate in hope and faith and in love, all of a sudden that anointing starts flowing out of you, coming from the inner man, a river of living water, but it actually seeps out your pore, and that's when it smears on you. Think about this. Peter was walking along, and it says people were getting that were sick, they were putting in the shadow of Peter. You understand that Peter's shadow wasn't anointed. I heard this once taught, and it said the shadow was just the distance that the anointing went out from Peter. That's the distance it went out. Whoa. Amen? So it wasn't that. It was the anointing that was in Peter. Then as he went out, it was so great, he operated in such a greatness of that anointing that it reached all the way out to the end of his shadow. And people are just bringing sick people out, and as he walked along his shadow. Do you understand? There's something about that anointing that brings favor with God and with man. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Let me finish. I didn't even get out of the first scripture here. Okay. Listen to this. Let me read that again, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, or the anointing, or the Anointed One, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, or by the blood of the Anointed One. Okay, what does hope mean? All right, let's look at that real quick. I'll read some definitions of hope. Remember what I said, the world's definition of hope is wish. Our translation of hope is expectation, or a confident expectation, or a happy anticipation of good. Or watching with outstretched head. You remember we talked about the prodigal son, and the father was standing there and always looking. He had an expectation of his son returning. See, he had an outstretched head. He's always looking. See, when you're operating in hope, you're always looking. Amen? You always have this expectation, and it actually comes down to an intense expectation of something good happening. Listen, it also means strained expectancy, eager longing, expectation from a certain place. Listen to this. extraction from anything else that might engage your attention. Let me say that again. Extraction from anything else that might engage your attention. It is so strong in you, that hope has become so strong in you, nothing can separate or distract you from your hope. Listen to this last one. Complete absorption in the object expected until the fulfillment is realized. Complete absorption in the object expected until, oh God, thank you, Jesus, until the fulfillment is realized. What the Lord is trying to get us into is a state of spirituality. And I'm not talking about walking around like this, you know, and always got your head up and you're always in prayer and you're always... No. What I'm talking about, you're in such a place where the mind of Christ and the Spirit of Christ is constantly working within you, speaking to you, and you're listening and you're speaking to Him. And you just spend your days looking for His presence, looking for His glory, looking for Him, speaking to Him and Him speaking to you. What's happened to the church and what's happened to many of us, and don't look, I'm talking about myself also, trust me when I tell you this. We become carnally minded. Carnally minded, that word carnal, you know, it's in Romans 8, I think it is, Romans 8. They said to be carnally minded is what? Death. To be spiritually minded is life. Amen? So, in other words, we want to be spiritually minded, it's life and peace, and carnally minded is death. That word carnal might help us out, and I like this translation, what somebody said. I think Kenneth Copeland said this one. He said the word carnal means carnivorous. In other words, you're a meat eater. Okay? That's what it means. Carnivore. Is that how you pronounce it? I'm probably mean. Huh?
Carnivore.
Thank you, carnivore. That means to eat meat. All right? To be carnally minded means that you're a meathead. I thought it was cute. Amen? So what happens is we become so carnally minded, we're no spiritually good. Amen? Well, never mind. I'll leave it at that. We see in the scripture we just read in Ephesians 2 that to be without Christ is to live in a state of hopelessness. This world out here without Christ. And that's what's happening in America today. That's why there's so much turmoil and so much chaos. There's no hope in the world out there. They don't see a future as far as their jobs are concerned. Most people get married today with the thought, well, if it doesn't work, we'll just get divorced. See, they don't have any hope for the future. That was one of the things God says, I have hope for the future for you. And what happens is when we start operating in hope, we see good for the future, not evil. Carnal people don't factor in the power of God. They just live from moment to moment, from day to day, from experience to experience. They can think about Memorial Day, what are we going to have for lunch? What are we going to do today? How are we going to do this? So their minds are set on the things of this world rather than on God. And we look to Jesus as our example. We see a man, and he was just a man when he walked this earth, that was fully and completely filled and covered with the very power and living God. Everything about him. When he came to God, he just said, Lord, everything that's yours is mine, and everything that's mine is yours. When we became born again, that same presence, that same anointing, that same power came into us. all of God's faith, all of God's love, all of God's mercy, all of God's grace, all of it is in us right now. All the power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is in here right now. Think about it. I know we don't think about that during the week when, you know, something happens, we get a flat tire in our car, and we have all these things going on in our lives. And we get caught up in those things. And we lose sight. Go with me to Ephesians 3, would you, please? Ephesians 3, verse 14. He said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, Jesus, the Anointed One, the Anointed One, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory," listen, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend." That comprehend means to have an understanding, to have an insight into. To comprehend with all the saints. And it's going to take the whole church to know this. What is the width, length, depth, and height? To know the love of Christ. In other words, in order to fully comprehend the fullness of God's love, it takes all of us. All right? It doesn't just take some of us. There is things that you have working in you and through you that God wants to bring out so that others can be blessed by your life and by your love. To say that one can do it, we can't. It takes the whole church. Let me go on here. To know, listen to this, to know, that word know means to have an intimacy with or to be intertwined with God's love. So it's not you here and God's love over here trying to get that love. No. What's happened is when you got born again, that love was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and it became as if we were one with that love. If you could see my spiritual man, you see the love of God. I'm so caught up in it. I'm so twisted up in it. You can't distinguish between me and that love. Because I don't always act that way does not change fact. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't always act healed doesn't mean I'm not healed. I am healed. Just because I don't act it. Because I don't talk it all the time. But know this, when you were born again, when that love was poured in there, it came in and you and it, that love, the God is love, remember, became one. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Amen. Once you come to understand, yes, there is that flesh and that carnal mind and that way of living in the world that still is of the old. And it's still being changed. It's being transformed into the image of Christ. But know this, at this moment, if I should die, if you could see my spirit and leave this body, it has the glory of God in it. Amen. The love of God, it's there. Amen. That's why we don't judge one another. Amen. You don't judge God. Who are you to judge God? If God thought they should be saved, and they were saved, and the Spirit of God, God himself, came and intertwined himself and became one with him in there, who are we to say, no, they're not? Because they don't always act it? I thank God. Wednesday night we did a wonderful video. I don't know, boy. Things were getting on Wednesday. I could tell you. I'm not trying to get anybody to do anything. Trust me when I say this. But we were listening to a video by Copeland. Kennedy, and he brought something out, man. And we just sat there in awe. It's just awesome. We're sitting there going, wow. And it just changed. I mean, it did an instantaneous change in the way I saw myself. I mean, it was like, bam, just like that. And I said, oh, praise God. No wonder. See, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and I said, you got to do what God's called you to do, you know. They feel they're a teacher. I said, yeah, well, I'm not ready to teach yet. Listen, I'm not ready. If you want to look at me and say, oh, you're perfect, and you got all, you forget it. I got a lot of problems in the flesh. But in the spirit, in the spirit, and if I can preach in the spirit, I'll preach what God speaks. It doesn't mean I'm all there yet, but I'm on my way. Amen. Something happened Wednesday night. I'm just sitting there going, whew. Oh my goodness. God is doing the work. Let me finish this. Listen, what I said there was, we're intimately intertwined with. That's what that to know means. Intercourse, or intimately intertwined. We're just like, you see us. That's why he says, when a husband and wife come together, they become one. Amen? When Adam and Eve, in the beginning, Adam and the woman, man, and the you say it the right way. The man Adam and the woman were both called Adam in the beginning. Later on, she was called Eve. But in the beginning, when God spoke and said, Adam, they both turned and looked at him. Okay? What's happening is, when God speaks to us, look, it's not going to be from out here. It's going to be where he is, from in here. Now, there's times he might do that. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I think it's so loud, it sounds like it's from out here, but it's really from in here. And what he's doing is, and listen, he's bringing us to a place, and this is for all of us. He's bringing you a place of such understanding of who he is and what he has done in us that we can release the God in us rather than the old nature that is always hanging around. And we live our life in a wholly different way. Our mindsets. Listen, we have hope for a future. If you consider your hope is based on your past experiences and actions, you're going to miss God altogether. Altogether. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people, like Diane said, I told her about that. And Diane said to me, she said, well, it could also be good things. Yeah. Do you know some people are haunted by the good things that happened to them in the past and never see the hope for the future? They live in the past. It's always about the past. God's going to do a glorious work and a greater work than ever before, because the church is actually going to be awake to who they are. And it's not going to be one or two people. It's not going to be one. Like I said earlier, it's going to take the fullness of the gospel and the fullness of the church that is going to do the work that God's called them to do. And that's to exhibit Christ in them. The glory. The hope of the glory. Now, all right, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go on. Go with me I didn't finish reading this. Excuse me. All right. To know or have intimately intertwined with the love of Christ, or love of the anointing, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. You want to operate out of... Look, if you've got a car, and this is what I do. I keep my car at half point. I used to go and fill it up. I like a full car. Well, I don't want to be a half Christian. I don't want to have half of God or a portion of God or a little bit of God. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I want to operate out of the fullness of the Spirit, not out of a little bit. Right? And that, I hope we all have that desire. We wouldn't be here on Memorial Day weekend if we didn't. We want that. We want the fullness of God. Why? When we even taste a little bit, when we just get a little bit of the up here when the anointing's flowing, just a little bit. Wow, we're amazed by it. But imagine if you were operating out of the fullness of God, and the fullness of God was operating in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let me go on here. Let me finish this last part of the scripture. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is the power working? What did I tell you, a few months back? What is the power of God? Remember? No. Didn't I say to you, the power of God was the glory of God? In it is the grace. In it is the mercy. In it is the love. But it's the glory of God. Remember I told you when we went up on the mountain, he wanted to see the glory? God said, I'm going to let my goodness pass you by, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and merciful whom I'll be merciful. God, and God spoke, and he said, the power is in my glory. When Jesus was praying in John 17, go back there and read it. He said, the same glory that you gave me, I gave to them. The same power that I operated in, because he operated in the glory and out of the glory. That's why he went up on the mountain all the time to pray. That's why he went out on a mount of transfiguration. God, by the grace of God and mercy of God, showed Peter, James, and John. He said, come on. You want to see what the glory is all about? And what happened? Jesus came out from that cloud and he was covered in the glory of God. And he said even his clothes shone. Well, I was listening to this message one time and they were talking about Jerry Seville. And he said Jerry Seville was in a shopping mall, and he said that this woman had been home praying, and God told her to go to the shopping mall, and she'll find a man there that will deliver her. Not go to the shopping mall, why not church? Nope, shopping mall. Says that she got to the shopping mall, she said, I watched, and all I could see is this light dancing. I kept chasing the light all over the place till she finally caught up. It was Jerry Seville. And God dealt with her. I can remember a time. Now, I'm just saying this because this was told me, not because of me or anything else. There was somebody who used to come to this church. And they said to me one day, it was her and her husband and a child. Well, never mind. Anyways. And she said, the only reason I come to this church is because there was one day I came here and I could see the light on you. And she said, that day God spoke to me and said, I'm to go to this church. It has nothing to do with me. You understand, we all have the same glory in us. Well, I don't feel like it. Nobody asked you to walk by feelings. Well, I don't act like it. Nobody asked you if it was about you. It isn't. It's about him. Do you understand? Part of the thing Wednesday night was he was talking about having a covenant. And he said the covenant isn't between you and God. The covenant is between Jesus and God. And once that covenant was established between Jesus and God, we entered into the covenant because we were born into the family of God. And we were born into the covenant. So it does not depend on your actions. It depended all on what Jesus did. If that doesn't bring a freedom and a release. Because all of us, because of our old way of thinking, our old nature tells us if you don't do the right thing, God doesn't going to do anything and he doesn't love you. And if in order to enter into that covenant, be part of that covenant, you got to be perfect. No. The one who's perfect did it. And we were born into the same family. Hallelujah. Now to him, remember what he said, doing exceedingly abundantly all we ask or hope for. And I was praying about that, and I said, okay, Lord, what are you saying there? And he said, listen. He said, if you want to be healed, it's not a bad thing. God wants you healed, but he wants to do more than just heal you. He wants you to make you a healer. God doesn't want to just meet your needs. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above so that you can help meet the needs of others. You understand? Once we get to that place and we start operating out of the glory, when we start following Christ as he intended us to do that by living and allowing him to live in us. Remember what he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask the Father anything, he'll do it.
Amen.
The glory is the power of God. The same glory that was on Jesus. Jesus said, Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. The glory isn't for you. It is so that you can be a light here on this earth to glorify the Father. And in that glory, there is hope for a future. Amen. Are you grabbing it? Oh, I got a hold of this and I started going, oh man. I look at myself so often in the flesh. Paul said it to I don't know, I can't remember, the Corinthian church or whichever one it was. He said, I don't want to know you anymore after the flesh. I don't want to know you that way. See, I don't want to know me anymore after the flesh. I don't want to be focused on my weaknesses, on my failures, on my sins that so easily beset me at times. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because I know if Christ is in me, the glory that was on him and with him is in me right now. Oh, you should be a little bit. That's what God said. I don't argue with God. Go on to Philippians 1:19, please. Hallelujah. It's an interesting scripture. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul was writing and he was in prison. So I'm going to be delivered from this. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus, the one sent of God, the one who was anointed to meet all my needs, that's what he's saying here. He said he was sent of God, and he was anointed to meet all my needs. Praise God. Christ, according to what? My earnest expectation. Remember what I said hope was? An earnest expectation. Paul was in prison. He was writing a letter to the Philippian church, and he said, because of your prayers and because of the anointed one dwelling within me, I know I have this earnest expectation of deliverance. Not only did he say it once, he said it twice. He said this earnest expectation, which means hope, and hope, which means hope or earnest expectation. So you could read it this way. According to my earnest expectation and earnest expectation. He's trying to get it across to them. Hey, listen, I got this earnest expectation. Something's coming. I'm going to be delivered out of this. He didn't care how he was going to be delivered out of it. He said whether by life or by death, it has no purpose. He said either way, for as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather be home with the Lord than be down here anyways. But I'm only here because it's needful for you. So you haven't learned everything that God has shown me, I'm trying to teach to you. That's what he was doing. He said, but as far as I'm concerned, see, some people down here think if we die that that's a bad thing. Not for the Christian it isn't. Now, to be here and fulfill your purpose, that you run the race and get everything done that God instructed you to get doing, and your reward is he takes you home. That's a reward. It's not a victory by the devil. It's not this and not that. It's a reward that he takes you home. But until we finish that course, until we finish that race, until we finish our purpose, then let's do it with the expectation, the earnest expectation, that something great's coming from our work. Hallelujah. How many trust God? If God's working, we don't have to. All right. What are we expecting? What's the earnest expectation? What is it so earnest that it changes the very way we live our life? We have an earnest expectation of eternal glory. Heaven, right? Did it change the way you lived your life? No? Well, I hope so. If you live for here, that's all you're going to get. You live your life with the earnest expectation that one day you're going to stand before the Master and give an account. And you're going to stand not only giving an account, but you're also going to receive your rewards. Glory to God. So let's look at it. If we want to establish and really do a earnest expectation, how do we get to that place? Obviously, we got to take the Word of God. We need to look at the Scriptures. Okay, let's say it's for healing. You're going to have to take that word, meditate on it day and night until the earnest expectation starts to arise within you. You understand? What it does, it actually gives you an image of perfect health rather than sickness. You understand? That earnest expectation, when you start into this development of trying to get and live a life out of hope, remember what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So in order to live by faith, you have to establish hope in your life. Hope is established, that earnest expectation is established by meditating on the Word day and night until finally a light goes. Remember what we talked about the other day. A light goes off. Remember what I said? Remember I told you when a sperm and an egg meet together, the first thing that happens, a light flashes. Bam. And life starts right there at that point. True life of the Word of God operating in you is when a light goes off. That's what happened. And when he said that Wednesday night, and I started looking at this, and I said, light went off. You understand? It changed. I started thinking differently. Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? The same glory that Jesus operated in, the same glory that was on him and in him is on and in me? Doesn't look it, doesn't always act it, doesn't always talk it, but it's there. In order to turn the light switch on, you've got to take the Word of God, which is the light. He said, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. You take that light and it switches on the inner light of the Spirit, of the glory of God. And it starts producing in you a faith to believe for the future. Or actually, faith to believe for now and the future. Amen. Amen. These people of God, you read about them. These people of God never worried about the future. I told you before about Smith Wigglesworth. God was sending him around the world. And he said, Lord, if you don't pay my way, I can't go. So the Lord started sending him money. His son came up and said to him, hey, Dad, if you leave, because he was a plumber. He was making money to pay the bills at the house. Dad, if you leave, who's going to feed us? Who's going to take care of our bills? And Smith said, the next envelope you get in the mail, open it. And I opened it up, and there was a five-pound note. Now, 5 pounds doesn't sound like much today, but in those days, back in the 40s and the 30s, there were a lot of money back then. And he come to understand. He said, God not only provided for his needs, but his family's needs. When you start operating out of the glory, it doesn't just affect you, it affects your whole family. When you start getting into this thing and you start saying, okay, Father, you said me and my whole household are saved. You start taking the Word of God on every part that talks about your family being saved. And you start meditating on it and meditating on it, confessing it over and over. You don't have to be chasing people down. You just start doing it. And all of a sudden, the glory starts rising up within you. And it starts coming out your pores. And all of a sudden, the people are coming around. So there's something different about you, something special about you. It's not you. It's God working in you. And it's starting to work to the degree so great that you become the fullness. It starts working up in you and it just has to overflow out of you. You don't have to work it. All you're doing is meditating on the Word, which brings light, which brings life. Hallelujah. As it begins to paint a picture in you, now all of a sudden you start seeing people saved. Not what they're doing wrong, but what God is doing. Amen. You start talking to them as if they're saved. You're not going and talking the Bible to them all the time, but you're talking to them as if they've already received. Why? Because the Word of God has already brought light to you about it, and it will come out of you and touch them. Hallelujah. So many of the church has stopped living in hope, not understanding what hope was. And they start falling away, committing spiritual suicide. Going with me into Romans 5, 1 through 5. We're almost done. Stay with me. I've only got 12 more pages. I'm only kidding. Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, in other words, having been born again, being made right with God, that's what that all means. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Through whom, meaning the Anointed One, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. What is the grace in which we stand? That which you're believing God for. You have access into that grace. What is the grace? If you're looking for healing, you're believing for healing, you're meditating on healing, then we have access into the healing grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope or in intense expectation, listen to this, of the glory of God. So in other words, what he's saying here is that our hope is not in the healing, but in the glory. Get it? You put your hope in the glory that's already in you. Now let me finish reading this. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Again, intense expectation. Now hope, or now, let me just read it this way. Now, intense expectation does not disappoint. In other words, when you have caused this by meditating on the Word and speaking the Word, this intense expectation in you, it gets to a point that it just explodes out. It does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now that intense expectation will not disappoint. In other words, it will produce what you have been expecting. But it takes more than a cursory, okay. It has to be intense. It has to hope. It's something that's so strong you can't stop but believe for. You can't stop but go after it. Man, this is the prize I've been looking for. And everything in you. Everything in you. We watch football games and everybody gets around and gets their drinks and their food and everybody sits around and they get this intense expectation of a good game. And they'll whoop and yell and jump up and down and scream and holler, oh, look at this. Oh. And they'll do everything they can to make it the way they want it to be. But when it comes time for God and the power of God to be released, the glory of God in each and every one of us, we kind of just let it. Remember what I said the glory of God was. It is the very essence and presence of God. Not only do you have the presence of God in you, you have everything that He is made of in you. God is love in you. God is gracious. Grace in you. Mercy in you. Power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Excuse me. Why do you think that those who believe can go raise the dead? Because the same power is in you that raised Christ from the dead. The anointed one from the dead. The same power is in you. Think about it. Think about it. I mean, just take a moment and meditate on that just for a half hour. Just sit there and just, Lord, you have placed the same power in me. That's the glory. That's the glory. The Bible tells us it was the glory of God that raised him from the dead. Remember what he said in Romans 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's working in us. It's Christ in us, the anointing and the anointed one in us, the hope of glory, the power of the living God. Look in Colossians 1, 25 through 27, we're going to look at. Colossians 1. He said, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, the anointed of God, the anointed of God in you, the hope or the intense expectation of glory. This has been hidden. Nobody understood it for years and ages. But along came the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ. I was thinking of this earlier. And he said, you know, I was meditating on. Jesus said, if you do all that I command you to do, I call you my friend. And the Lord showed me, he said, David, that was of the Old Testament. He said, David, you're more than a friend. You're my child. You're my son. You're heir and joint heir with the Lord Jesus. You're more than just a friend. You're so much more. You're so much more than who you are by looking in the mirror and say, that's who I am. You're so much more than when you look at what you've got in your bank account. You're so much more than what you look about your body that says, oh, there's sickness and disease. And you're so much more. God created you for greatness. God created you that the fullness of the living God can live in you and come out of you and touch everything that's dead and bring life to it. Think about it. You're rich beyond the richest people of this world. The riches of the glory are so amazing that it will not cause you, listen, when you operate in the riches of the glory, you will never lack any good thing. The anointing of Jesus himself is in the believer. Everything that he is needed for hope to rise up, listen to this, to produce an image for faith to come into that will release the glory of God into every situation. Let me say that again. The anointing of Jesus himself is in the believer. Everything that is needed for hope to rise up, to produce an image for faith to get a hold of, so that it will release the very glory of God into every situation. What we're looking at and what we're seeking is the very glory of God in your situation, not just the healing. Amen. Once you start establishing, be operating out of the glory, sickness will no longer have power over you. Poverty will no longer have power over you. Because why? Because in God's kingdom, there is no sickness, there is no poverty, there is no fear, just power. Amen. The glory of God is the very presence and essence of who God is, the life of God, the power of God. As we said earlier in Romans 6:4, it says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. The anointing is called the glory. The fire is called the glory. The wind of God is called the glory. The smoke of God is called the glory. The fullness of God is called the glory. The light is called the glory of God. The glory of God is referring to the supernatural life and essence of God that make God who he is. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That word life means Zoe. Zoe means the very essence of God, for he is life, and outside of him there is no life. So the very essence of God has come to give you the very life of God. Hallelujah. That is what God put in you to expect, the very glory. There's healing in the glory. There's finances in the glory. All our needs are met in the very glory and presence of God. In John 11:40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? What is the glory of God? The presence of God. What is the presence of God? The very essence of who he is. Remember what he said in Hebrews 6:12-16, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When Jesus went to the cross, he promised again. He said, I'll send another comforter called the Holy Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God came, he brought with him not only the presence of God, but the very glory of God for each and every one of us. Don't walk through life without hope. And don't put your hope in things. Don't put your hope in people. Put your hope in Christ, the anointing and the anointed one. Put your hope in the glory. Father, if the glory is in us, then let the glory of God come forth. Let the glory of God be released to change every situation in our lives. Don't be afraid of what the devil says or people do or what is not done. Don't get your eyes on the things of this world and say, oh me, oh my. Put your eyes on the Christ and say, oh my God, what a wondrous Lord we serve. You have the very essence, the very presence of God, and the glory has to be manifested in every situation, and that's what changes. That's what changes your situation. So put your faith in the glory. Put your hope in the glory. Not in anything else but. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for all those men and women who have sacrificed so much so that we may live in this free country. They gave their life, and in many cases, their families, Father. We just pray now, Father, for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh on our military, on our armed forces, Father. And on the military, Father, on the army of God, a fresh outpouring of your glory, Father, that we may glorify you in every area, in every situation. We thank you again, Father God, for you are doing a work that is so wondrous, Father. It's beyond our comprehension, but we believe it and we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're the center of it all, aren't you? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to just take a moment, and I didn't do this. Usually I do this at the beginning of the service.